Don't drink the water. For two crystal clear days in June, I was sequestered in a conference room in a swanky Chicago hotel, listening to presentations on mouth sores, an exquisitely painful side effect of cancer therapy. I was working as a medical consultant, in charge of writing up the proceedings of the meeting. The room darkened and the group was treated to lurid slide after another of glistening red and oozy mouth sores. Oblivious to the sight of people wincing in pain and in general misery, some of the oncologists were already multitasking, answering emails in the guise of taking notes on the computer or discreetly texting messages on a BlackBerry hidden beneath the desk. I was supposed to pay attention and look sharp and take copious notes, even though I knew I would rely mostly on the transcripts that would eventually come my way. So my multitasking had to be even more subtle. I glanced out the window and realized that there was a little sliver of blue peeking out between the dense office buildings. Restlessly, I reached for a bottle of water and realized that here I was just 3 blocks from Lake Michigan, one of the jewels of fresh water on this planet, and the Peninsula Hotel thought it fit to provide me with water from Fiji. Whatever happened to the pitcher of iced tap water? With nothing else to do, I pored over the labels of the bottle, both front and back, and began to envision the marketing strategy that had successfully convinced people that Fiji water was something special. I imagined the chief marketing officer assembling his or her minions and saying, "Okay, this third of the room, you guys are the image makers. You brainstorm on the front label depicting Fiji. Now you guys over there, you're going to work on the label on the back of the plastic bottle. Your job is to come up with as many disturb points as you can to convince the consumer that tap water is unhealthy and even dangerous. Now finally, you guys in the way back of the room, I want you to devise a pricing strategy. Let's show hotels and restaurants how they can turn good old H2O into a profit center." I must say the guys assigned to the front label did not get too creative. Going with the standard image of a sun-kissed Pacific island with colorful hibiscus and bougainvillea flowers. The bottle itself was tinted light blue, giving the water an azure blue hue that was designed to evoke the popular image of pure, simple, and pristine island life. However, the guys assigned to the disturb points on the back label really went to town. As I looked across the table, I realized that the Fiji water across from me had a different back label, and there was yet another label to the right and left. Now this was worth investigating. I managed to squirrel away another bottle from the buffet table, and another as I feigned a bad back to get up and walk around. Now arrayed in front of me was a series of disturb points trying to convince me that drinking the local water was an act of supreme folly. Two labels played off the same theme of the splendid purity of isolation, i.e. since Fiji was thousands of miles away from the nearest industrialized center, it had cleaner clouds, purer rains, and ta-da, cleaner water. This was an obvious dig at all of us who enjoy the fruits of an affluent economy and are polluting the world and raising its temperature in the process. The United States is probably Fiji Water's most significant client. Who else would commit the environmental absurdity of hauling fresh water all the way across the continent and then pay about $5 per gallon for what could be had for free? It is horrifying to realize that given the cost of manufacturing the bottle itself and the transportation, it actually takes more water to make the bottle than it holds. The label also proclaimed that Fiji is one of the last virgin ecosystems on Earth, which to me immediately cries out for a definition of a virgin ecosystem and who is the judge of lost virginity. Although the first couple of labels pointed to clean air and rains, the next couple of labels took a different tact and suggested that the water does not come from yesterday's cleansing rain, but instead from an ancient artesian aquifer deep within the earth where it is protected from external elements. It's the way nature intended it to be, untouched. Personally, I don't think that nature has any specific agenda or intent. It just takes what it is given, processes it, and spits it out. The artesian reference is intriguing. As I recall, many years ago, there was an ad campaign about some sort of beer that was made from artesian water. These marketers seemed to throw up their hands in despair in trying to explain the beneficial hydraulics of an artesian system, and instead tried to simplify matters by pretending that the artesians were some sort of secretive elves. The Fiji water people probably figured that since artesian sounded scientific, who needs to explain it? A few of the labels veered from disturb points in an attempt to find positive attributes of Fiji water, presumably attributes that Fijians would like to enjoy, except that their precious resource is being siphoned off and sold to elitists halfway around the world. One label claimed that Fiji water had a unique and refreshing taste, which is a very confusing premise to me. My opinion is that the major attributes of water are that it is cold and that it has absolutely no taste. If it had taste, it would be called something else, like lemonade. Apparently, since Fiji water is loaded with silica, they use the time-tested strategy of turning a potential negative into a positive. Thus, one of the labels extolled the health virtues of silica, such as its ability to strengthen bone, connective tissue, teeth, skin, nails, and hair. And then finally, the trump card. Silica is what gives Fiji water its soft mouthfeel. Wow! In addition to taste, Fiji water has a feel, and it is soft? When someone says water, I think wet, and when someone says soft mouthfeel, I don't think of water. Pudding, perhaps, but not water. I was so engrossed in my water project that I was startled when the lights went up, and the conference moderator turned to me and said, "Would you like to make any comments on mouth sores and how you'll be approaching the manuscript?" Fortunately, I've been doing this long enough that I always roll out the same boilerplate comments that, 1, work will begin in earnest when I receive the manuscripts, 2, that I will send an outline to the task force chair, and 3, I appreciated the opportunity to learn about mouth sores and Fiji water.